بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. We continue in the chapter the author she has mentioned. حفظها الله تعالى سب المسلم بدون حق. Under the main topic من أفات اللسان. The chapter she has mentioned that calling a Muslim names and speaking bad to him to his face without right. And this is under the main topic and subject that the author has been discussing in this beginning, or in this portion of this work in the beginning, which is from the diseases of the tongue, or the ills and the calamities of the tongue. سَبُّ الْمُسْلِمِ بِدُونِ حَقٍ. To make sab or shatam, to call a Muslim names and talk bad to him in his face, and say words that he does not like, to call him bad names and to curse him directly without right. And we have seen that the one who does this is a fasiq, and this is with the clear evidence from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sibabul muslimi fusuqun, sibabu al muslimi fusuqun, to call a Muslim names in his face and speak bad to him and the likes like this is fusuq, is corruption. So the one who performs that, he has fallen into sin and is not reliable, nor is he trustworthy, until he repents and leaves off that sin. So we continue reading from what the author she has mentioned. حفظها الله تعالى. And she says, وسباب المسلم بدون حق من خصال الجاهلية. And to curse a Muslim, to call him names without right, this is from the attributes of al-jahiliyyah. This is from the characteristics of al-jahiliyyah. Al-jahiliyyah, referring to the days of ignorance and that which the Arabs were upon before al-Islam, and the days of ignorance without having light and guidance from the revelation, and before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were upon darkness and they were upon a bad way, and it was known as the days of al-jahiliyyah. So she is saying here that in reality, by calling a Muslim bad names and speaking foul to him in his face in this manner like this, sibab al-muslim biduni haq, without right, min khisari al-jahiliyyah, it is from the attributes and characteristics of the days and that which the people were upon in al-jahiliyyah, in those days of ignorance. She says, قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا عمر ابن حفص قال حدثنا أبي قال حدثنا الأعمش عن المعرور وهو بن سويد عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال رأيت عليه بردا رأيت عليه بردا. نعم المعرور, he says رحمه الله تعالى, that he saw Abu Dharr al-Ghifari رضي الله عنه, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw him and he had on him a burd. A burd, she mentioned in the commentary at the bottom, kisa'un lahu a'lam, this is a type of garment that has any stripes or the likes, it has a design on it like stripes, for example. And what is mentioned that this is a one type of a garment, and that it was used as an izar, and is used as an izar. So he's wearing a burd, a specific type of izar and garment that has these lines on it, and it's a nice type of a clothing, and he's using it as a lower garment, as the izar. Ma'rur, he says, وَعَلَى غُلَامِهِ بُرْدًا, and also on his servant, or on his slave, the one who was serving him, that's along with him, also he has a burd as well. So now he, Ma'rur from the Tabi'een, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, I saw Abu Dharr and he's wearing this nice garment, this lower piece, as an izar, a burd. And then his ghulam, and his slave, the one serving him, likewise, he has the same garment on as well. They're both wearing the same type of garment. He says, فَقُلْتُ لَوْ أَخَذَّ هَذَا فَلَبِسْتَهُ كَانَتْ حُلَّةً وَعْطَيْتَهُ ثَوْبًا آخَرٍ. So he said, I said to him, يعني معرور. He says, I said to Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه that if you took the board of your ghulam, of your servant, and you wore that, meaning on top of your shoulders as a rida, then you would have a hulla, and you can give him another type of garment. And meaning whenever he saw Abu Dharr, he has this nice lower garment on, this nice izar, board. And then he looked at his servant, he has the same one on as a board. He's like, why don't you take the one from him and give him another garment, and you wear that nice one on top of you, and then you'll have a hulla. Hulla is a type of garment. She mentioned likewise in the commentary at the bottom, izarun wa rida'un sumiyat bidhalika li'anna ahadahuma yuhullu 'ala al-akhar. Yani is whenever a person, he will wear an izar, and on the bottom, a part of his body, and then on top, a rida as well, another garment on top. And it's called a hulla because one, the top of it, yuhullu 'ala al-izar, it falls over the top of it. So this one will be like something sort of like, yani he would have a full gear on and a suit. He would have one on top and one on bottom, and both of them nice garments. So he's saying to him, if you just wore the one that he has on top of you, you would have a nice, you have nice garments on. You have a hulla, a whole set on top and on bottom, and you can give him another thobe. You can give him another thobe, any other thobe. نعم فقال أبو ذر رضي الله عنه كان بيني وبين رجل كلام. He said that there was a quarrel, and there was an argument or dispute between me and another man. Now, between me and another man. وَكَانَتْ أُمُّهُ أَعْجَمِيَّةً. He said, and this man that he had a dispute with, his mother was a non-Arab. فَنِلْتُ مِنْهَا. فَنِلْتُ مِنْهَا. He says, so I talked bad about her. So I called her names. فَنِلْتُ مِنْهَا. So I called her bad names. And he's explaining himself. Why does his servant have the same exact type of garment that he has on? He has a nice lower garment on, and his servant does too. And Ma'rur, he found it to be strange. If he just took that one from his slave and put it on top of him, he would have a real nice whole set. Now, he would have a nice set like a suit. And he's looking much nicer. And on the top, a nice board, and on the bottom, a nice board as well. It's called a hulla, whenever there are two pieces together like this. And give the servant something else. So now Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu is going to explain himself. And he says, at one time, there was a dispute between me and an individual. And his mother was a non-Arab. And I spoke bad about her and called her bad names. فَذَكَرَنِي إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So that man, he went to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he complained about that and mentioned me to him. صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَالَ لِي. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to Abu Dharr, أَسَابَبْتَ فُرَانٍ. Did you call Furan bad names? Did you call so-and-so bad names? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, did you call so-and-so bad names? قُلْتُ نَعَمْ. He said, yes. I said, I did, yes. قَالَ أَفَنِلْتَ مِنْ أُمِّهِ. He said, did you talk bad and call his mother bad names as well? قُلْتُ نَعَمْ. He said, yes, I did that. قَالَ إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَهِلِيَّةٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him now, he said, you're an individual that has jahiliyyah in him. You're an individual that has traits of jahiliyyah in him, and in ignorance. And from the days of ignorance, that's how they used to act like that, speaking in that manner. As for after the coming of Islam, and the revelation of the Quran, and the revelation of the Sunnah, and the legislation of the Sharia and the Deen, and the noble and upright manners that are commanded in the Quran and the Sunnah, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's upon after that, that's all gone for the Muslims. So the one who still is holding on to some of those foul manners like that, then he is holding on to some of the traits of al-jahiliyyah. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling him. He said, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَهِلِيَّةٌ. You're an individual that still has some traits of ignorance in him. Abu Dharr, now he says, رضي الله عنه, قُلْتُ عَرَحِينِ سَعَتِ هَذِي مِنْ كِبْرِ السِّنْ. He said, even till this time, at this moment right now, whenever I'm old in age, meaning I have reached this old age and I still have jahiliyyah in me and ignorance in me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam qala, نَعَمْ. He said, yes, because of this issue. He said, نَعَمْ. Whom ikhwanukum? He said, they're your brothers. And he's referring to the slaves. And also is what is included in here is whether they're slaves or whether they're servants. And whether they're slaves or whether they're servants who are paid to help and aid and to help and assist an individual. Either case, they're Muslims. The Prophet, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nam, whom ikhwanukum? Nam, they're your brothers. They're your brethren, meaning indeed. جَعَلُهُمْ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed them under your command and under your control and authority. فَمِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ أَخَاهُ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ So whoever Allah has placed his brother under his authority, then let him feed him from that which he eats. وَلْيُلْبِسْهُ مِمَّا يَلْبِسُ And clothe him with the same thing that he clothes himself with. Let him wear the same clothing that he wears himself. And this is the shahid for Abi Dharr, radiallahu anhu. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُهُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِلَّا مَا يَغْلِبُهُ And do not require him to do anything from the actions or deeds in his work, anything that is beyond his capacity. فَإِن كَلَّفَهُ مَا يَغْلِبُهُ فَلْيُعِنْهُ عَلَيْهِ And if he at all asks him to do something that is hard or too difficult for him, then he should help him to perform that. So the evidence is clear in that which the author she is mentioning here to clarify the issue. حفظه ta'ala. سباب المسلم بدون حق من خصال الجاهلية To call a Muslim names and to talk bad about them and to say bad words to them and call them bad names and the likes like this, this is from the attributes of al-jahiliyyah. This is from the characteristics of al-jahiliyyah that a Muslim will try to free themselves from. And they will not try to be upon that way whatsoever. And a believer will learn about the sunnah and upright and noble and lofty manners of the sharia, al-adab al-shar'iyyah. And strive against one's soul to comply to them and to abide by way of them and to be upon the straight path, yani inwardly and outwardly, in creed and in methodology and in belief first and foremost. But whenever that creed and that belief is strong, then that will show on the manners and in the ibadah, and it will show on the conduct and in the speech, and it will show in a person's actions, and it will show in a person's actions. So this is general here that any this is to show any nam hum ikhwanukum they're your brothers any whether they're servants or they're slaves even to this is a mubalagha any this is going to a great extent to clarify the issue of how blameworthy and how unacceptable it is to curse a Muslim even if he's a slave even if he's a servant somebody maybe thinks that they have no great status in society, for example, he's a slave or he's somebody who's a servant and he works for somebody and maybe they look down upon him, but he's a believer. Even at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prohibited cursing that individual. And he mentioned that he's your brother, they're your brothers and Allah has placed them under your authority. Allah has set them to under your authority to help you and to assist you and to aid you. So then you must not treat them foully and you must not call them names. So calling names and talking bad to people in their face, this is from the attributes and characteristics of jahiliyyah. You're this and you're that. Or to talk bad about people's mother, his mother is this and his mother is that. And or his father is this or so on and so forth. All of these names and name calling and saying bad words to an individual and blaming them like this in this manner and indirectly. This is from the attributes of a jahiliyyah. And this is not from the ways of a believer. The one who is narrating this narration on Abi Dharr, radiallahu anhu, whose name is Al-Ma'rur, Ibn Suwayd. The one who is narrating on him is Al-A'mash. And Al-A'mash, his name is Suleiman ibn Mihran. And it has been narrated that Al-A'mash, rahimahullah ta'ala, they're both from the Tabi'een, but Ma'rur, he's from the major tabi'een, and he met many of the companions, as we see here from them Abu Dharr. Amash, he said about him, and this is just a benefit from the chain here that she has mentioned. حفظه الله رأيته أني معرور. He says على Amash, and he said رأيته يعني رأيت معرورا وهو ابن عشرين ومية سنة أسود الرأس واللحية. Subhanallah. He said that he saw him, المعرور هذا. Whenever he was 120 years old, and his head is black, and his beard is black, all of his hair is black, and all of his beard is black. And there are some individuals from the Salaf; they're called al-Mu'ammarun. They lived long lives. From them, al-Ma'rur, and he lived a long life. Like that, there's another narrator of hadith, and from the Salaf, also from the Tabi'in. His name is Suwayd ibn Ghafla. And what has been mentioned about him is that كان يؤم الناس في رمضان في القيام وقد أتى عليه 20 و100 سنة. Now he said that it's been mentioned about him also, another similar from the Mu'ammarun, those who have lived long lives. Another man, his name is Suwayd ibn Ghafla from the Tabi'een as well. And it's mentioned that he used to lead the people in prayer in Ramadan, in the night prayer, and in the Taraweeh, in the Qiyam. In the Taraweeh, he used to lead them, the Muslims, and he's 120 years old. And he was the Imam for them. 120 years old, and he's strong, and he's the Imam. Just like Ma'rur here in this chain that we have now, Rahimahullah, he is 120 years old, and he's seen with all his hair is all black, and his beard is all black, no gray whatsoever. Yani, subhanAllah. This is some benefits that are mentioned about the narrators that are found in this chain that the author, she has mentioned from the chain of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. With that being said, if we remember, in the previous chapter, the author, she mentioned a narration from Aisha radiallahu anha, and I mentioned that this narration, I didn't find it with that wording. And she didn't, in that particular narration, mention a chain or even mention the reference to the actual hadith and where it's found in the books of al-hadith. And I was thinking about this issue and pondering over this, and also looking at how she has authored this work, and have seen that many times she will mention narrations with any, for example, she'll mention the narration of Bukhari like we have now, and then she'll mention his chain entirely. Other times she will mention that the book, the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, and then she will just mention the narrator or from the companion without the chain. And other times we see now in that previous narration of Aisha, she didn't mention the chain nor the book, but rather she mentioned the hadith by its meaning. And I was pondering over this issue, and this is actually, wallahu alam, yani, this is from her knowledge of hadith, and that she's displaying the different ways to narrate a hadith, wallahu alam. This is what I have pondered over and have come to conclusion. Because the scholars of hadith, sometimes they'll narrate a chain entirely, with the entire chain property, like here, Bukhari all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other times they will take off the chain and they'll only mention part of the chain for some reason. There's benefits in that, but this is not the time to mention that. But all of this is established, and sometimes they will also remove a narrator, or they'll cut a person out of the chain, or two people out of the chain, or they'll cut the whole chain all the way to the companion. All of this is from the methodology of the people of hadith and narrating, and there are different issues with regards to that. And even from the methodology of the people of hadith with regards to narrating hadith, is that it's permissible to narrate hadith by the meaning. Al-riwayatu bil-ma'na. It's called al-riwayatu bil-ma'na. So, wallahu alam, she's mentioning narrations with all these different types of narrating. Narrating with the chain that is mutasil, narrating with the chain that is mu'allaq, narrating with the chain that any is not there, the chain is mahdhuf entirely, and matin yurwa bil ma'na, wallahu alam. This is what I was thinking about this issue, wallahu ta'ala alam. In any case, she said, hafidhaha Allah ta'ala, wa'lami annahu la yajuzu laki an ta'tadi ala ahadin, fa in fa'alti faqad dhalamti, fa inna dhulma huwa wadu shay'i fi ghayri mahallihi ash-sharri. Before we speak about that, that translation, with regards to that previous issue, if any of the noble sisters or the listeners, they have a benefit with regards to that, let me know. Inform me, barakallahu fikum. Naam. طيب وَعْلَمِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لَكِ أَن تَعْتَدِي عَلَى أَحَدٍ فَإِنْ فَعَلْتِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمْتِ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ هُوَ وَضُعْ شَيْءٍ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ الشَّرْعِ. She says, you must know, my sister, after mentioning the narration of Abu Dharr, and that calling Muslims names without right, speaking back to them and calling them bad names, is from the attributes and characteristics of al-Jahiliyyah. She says, you must know, my sister, that it's not permissible for you to transgress against anybody. It's not permissible for you to transgress the rights of anybody. And if you did that, then you have oppressed. Because verily oppression is to put something in the place that it's not legislated to be. To put something in a place that's not legislated to be there. Like, it's not legislated to put bad words in the face of a Muslim. And to call a Muslim bad names. This is not legislated. Rather, what is legislated is to say beautiful and good words to a Muslim, or to be silent. Or to be silent. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكن خيرا أو ليصمت. Now, so she mentions now, حفظه الله تعالى. She says, وقد ثبت في صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. See here, now she didn't mention the chain. She just mentioned in صحيح مسلم, and now she mentioned من حديث أبي هريرة. Dropping the entire chain. Previously, she mentioned the hadith of Bukhari, and she mentioned the whole chain from the Sheikh of Bukhari to his Sheikh and to his Sheikh, all the way to Abi Dharr, and then also from him all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now is another type of narration where she just mentions the book that the hadith is found in, and she mentioned the raqam also. قَدْ ثَبَتَ فِي صَحِي مُسْلِمْ رَقَمْ وَاحِدْ وَثَمَانِينَ وَخَمْسِينَ وَأَلْفَيْنَ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ. From the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, just mentioning the companion now. Radiallahu anhu. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala tadruna man al muflis? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do you know who is the one who is bankrupt? Al muflis, and he's the one who is bankrupt. He went bankrupt. He has no cash. He has no wealth. He has no property. He has nothing. He went bankrupt. He lost it all. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know who the one who is bankrupt? Yani muflis? قالوا المفلس فينا من لا درهم له ولا متاع. So they said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who is bankrupt amongst us, the muflis, is the one he has no dirham, he has no money whatsoever and no property. He has no wealth and no property whatsoever. قال sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إن المفلس من أمتي. And there's a missing point here. إن المفلس من أمتي من يأتي بصلاة وزكاة وصيام ويأتي قد شتم هذا وقذف هذا وأكل مال هذا وسفك دم هذا وضرب هذا وضرب هذا فيعطى هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته فإن فنيت حسناته قبل أن يقضى ما عليه أخذ من خطاياهم فطرحت عليه ثم طرح في النار ثم طرح في النار. She mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do you know who the one who is bankrupt? Do you know who is the one that is considered bankrupt? And they said, the one who is bankrupt amongst us, that we know, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one who does not have any money, no dirham, no money, nor does he have any property. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and in the wording that we have here in this particular text, there's a missing portion that the sisters who are reading from the Arabic text, they should fix it. إن المفلس من يأتي. This is what it says in here. إن المفلس من يأتي. And even the harakat are there. But there's two words missing, or really three. إن المفلس من أمتي من يأتي بالصلاة والزكاة. And this is how it should be read, and this is how it is found in Sahih Muslim. نعم إن المفلس من أمتي من يأتي بالصلاة والزكاة والصيام. Verily the one who was bankrupt from my ummah is the one who comes with salat and zakat and fasting, meaning on the day of resurrection. And likewise, that portion is also missing. Min ummati man yati yawm al-qiyamah. And there's some missing portions in this narration. And there's some saqt wa akhta' al maqta'iyyah, yani typos in this wording. We read it again, the actual wording, so to correct it in the text. In Sahih Muslim, قالوا المفلس فينا يا رسول الله من لا درهم له ولا متاع. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المفلس من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة. This part is missing here. المفلس إن المفلس من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة. This part is the part that we have to add into the text. إن المفلس من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة بصلاة وزكاة وصيام. Verily the one who was a muflis from my ummah on the day of resurrection is the one who brings, he comes with salat and zakat and fasting. But he comes and verily he has cursed out this one and called that one bad names, and he has falsely accused that one, and he has unrightfully taken the wealth of that one, and he has shed the blood of this one, and he has hit that one. And this is the one who is considered the muflis from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of resurrection. And he's not broke. He has salat. He prays. He gives zakat. He fasts. He has all of these great acts of worship. But he was not refraining his tongue and his hands, and he was violating the rights of others. And this is what she's mentioning here. وَعْلَمِي أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لَكِ أَن تَعْتَدِيَ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. It's not permissible, O sister, for you to transgress against the rights of anyone. فَإِنْ فَعَلْتِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمْتِ. And if you have done that, then verily you have oppressed. فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ هُوَ وَضُّ شَيْءٍ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ الشَّرِّ. This is what she mentioned before this. So now she's clarifying from this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the one who oppressed the people, he's bankrupt and broke on the day of resurrection. He'll be the one from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is considered muflis. He comes with prayer. He comes with zakat. He gives charity. He gives his wealth. He stands in the prayer. And he fasts and the likes like this. But he has cursed out and called this one bad names, and he unrightfully and false accused that one, and he unrightfully ate the wealth and took the wealth of this individual, and he shed the blood of that one, and he hit and struck this one. So what will happen? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. So this one that he has harmed or oppressed will take from his will be given from his good deeds, and that one will be given from his good deeds as well. Any of those individuals that he has oppressed, they're going to get their rights back on that day. But there's nothing to give on that day except for deeds. So they're going to take from his deeds. They'll be given from his deeds until their right is fulfilled. And the other one is going to be given from his deeds, his good deeds, until his right is fulfilled. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ قَبْرَ أَنْ يُقْضَى مَا عَلَيْهِ أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if his good deeds are finished before he fulfills the rights of those people, then their sins will be taken from them and thrown on him and cast upon him, and then because of this he'll be cast into the fire. He'll be cast into the fire because he has to fulfill the rights of those who he has violated. He has violated their rights. He has violated the rights of this one by cursing him and calling him names and calling him bad names to his face and speaking ill to him. He has violated the right of the other one by striking him and harming him, and the other by taking his wealth unrightfully. And the other one, he has violated his rights by shedding his blood and the likes like this. So they will get their rights back and justice will be served. And on the day of resurrection, if that person did not rectify that affair before he died, then he will be taken to account on the day of resurrection, and Allah will make sure that justice is served. And those people will get their rights back. But they will not get it back in wealth or in any other aspect. They will get it back in deeds. And this is what counts on the day of resurrection. And this is what a servant needs on that day. Good deeds. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٍ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٍ. Naam? So then they'll take his good deeds in order to get their rights back. If there are still individuals who did not, justice was not served with this individual, and he has no good deeds left to give him, what is the recompense for him? How is he going to rectify that situation? Then he will bear the bad deeds of that person until justice is served. And if that's the case, he has no good deeds left, and he'll be thrown in his face in the hellfire. He'll be thrown in his face in the hellfire. This is a narration that clearly clarifies the dangers of oppressing the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, of oppressing the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, of oppressing the people and the creation, that their rights will be served. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that al-dhulmu dhulumatun yawm al-qiyamah, that oppression is darkness. Darkness is any different levels of darkness on the day of resurrection. On the day of resurrection. The author, she mentioned after this a verse and some more narrations clarifying this issue and some issues. And we suffice with that today in this class. And inshallah, we continue next week. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.